You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
To our God whom I serve, to our beloved pastor in his absence. And I know he feels our prayers, and prayer still works. To all of these, my preach brethren, to the choir who sung so melodiously this morning, and to you, Macedonia, visitors and friends, it's just good to be here.
Yes, it is.
I think I say that again. Because somebody wanted to be here but could not be here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. No matter the snow or the weather, God is still God. And he's still good. Somebody say all the time. From the epistle of, second epistle of Paul's letter to Timothy, that first chapter of the second epistle, from the 6th to the 13th verse. 2 Timothy, first chapter. There you find these words. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And looking in the wonder of the 12th verse, the B part, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. For a few moments, I simply want to talk about him. Him. Today, we find ourselves living in a world of dark days, perilous times. Times which is plain to see that men are indeed more lovers of themselves and pleasures than lovers of God. We live in times where people can call evil good and good evil. We are living in a world that was created by him among people. Yes, even the very people of God who really don't know him. Yes, these are trying times. Yet we are not left in the darkness without knowing whom the God that we profess to serve is. While I'm right there, you do know that there is a difference between professing without possessing. Yeah, you do know that faith without work, faith without works is dead. They go together. Oh, yeah, and we have all been saved. But not to sit on a pew and chew, and that's all that we do. But if you've been saved, you just ought to know that you've been saved to serve him. Yeah. He promised. He promised us 70 years. But I never heard him say that I gotta wait till I get 70 years old to serve him. What I'm really saying is that to those among us who won't or who just will not serve him, if not today, when? Tomorrow? Baby, you need to know that today, tomorrow, next Sunday, the very next hour isn't given to you and me. James had it right. He said, your life is a vapor, a puff of air. Here, this minute, and poof, you're gone. And if you don't carry but one thing from this message today, I would that every one of us would have an intimate personal relationship with just him. I know we're involved in a lot of relationships with our family, with our children, with our husband, with our wife, with other people in our community, but we need a relationship with him. In this chapter of Paul's letter to Timothy, Paul, in his last hours, is in a prison in Rome. And yet, even in prison, he looks out away from himself and his condition. And he tells Timothy, stop the gift. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. And then he tells him, don't ever be ashamed to speak up for Christ. And then he says, look at his own example. God has given every one of us a gift. And some of us, he's given more than one to be used in serving him. Now, some will try the lame excuse. I say the lame excuse. But preacher, I don't know what my gift is. Pastor has told us over and over, in order to grow up, you gotta show up. And that's all that it is an excuse. One that will not hold up before God. Can you imagine? Someone 30, 40, 50, 60, and 70 years old telling the Lord that all I know how to do, Lord, is sit on a pew and chew, and that's all that I do. In this ministry, there's no room for regrets, doubts, or pity parties. Go ahead, have your own pity party. God ain't coming to our pity party. Because it's not about, never has been, and never will be about you. It's all about him. Paul found that his calling was a call to suffer. And I know we don't like to talk about suffering. But I found out that this message of ministry will often get you in trouble. But this same message is able to get you out of trouble. Amen. Yet through it all, Paul is saying that he has no regrets. Listen to what he said. He says, "For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed, my deposit unto him against that day." Paul had committed his life to serving God. What about you? Macedonia, God desires for us to have a personal relationship with him. When we slumber and sleep in peace, it's all because of him. The air that we breathe is because of him. The food that we eat, the clothes that we wear, the shelter over our head is all because of him. The money that you and I have, amen. The car that you and I drive. That husband, that wife that you've been given is all because of him. The children that you have, I know you named them. I know you think they belong to you, but the children you got belong to him. Each day that we are given is a day because of him. I read where he said his mercies are new every morning. Great, oh God, is thy faithfulness. This world and everything in it belongs to him. It was created by and for him. In fact, we are what we are because of him. And though many talk about him, you need to ask yourself, if I really know him. Ask yourself if you really know him. And if your answer is yes, I know him, then what are you willing to do for him? Whom I have believed is a reality. I don't know about you, but because I know him and what he has done for James O'Rear and what he's yet doing for me, I must live for him. It's in him that we all, amen, live and have our very being. I've never faced a situation. Never have I been in a storm by myself. Never had a problem that he has not seen me through. Every job I've ever had has been a promotion from him. In sickness, oh yeah, I sure enough have been sick. But right by my bedside, I looked to him. And I know, amen, whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That day that I can see him for myself face to face. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace and came out unharmed because of him. Daniel walked in the lion's den. And he came out unharmed because he trusted in him. My Bible tells me, trust in the Lord. Amen. With all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. There's a story of a lady who memorized many, many verses of scripture and quoted them to the Lord. As she grew older, she developed dementia. And she could only remember one verse. And the verse that she could remember was, "For I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." She would quote this verse over and over and over. Soon her memory worsened. And all she could remember was committed to him. And just this phrase, committed to him, gave her much comfort. Finally, she got to where all she could say was just him. Over 2,000 years ago, our ransom has been paid by him. On a hill called Calvary. Oh, I know you know the story. Those who really love and know him ain't ashamed to proclaim him. Oh, yeah, I may not know your story, amen, and you may not know my story, but every child of God needs to know this story is about him. He came down through 40 and two generations, healing the sick, giving sight, amen, to the blind, raising the dead, how he was lied on, falsely accused, and nailed to an old rugged cross. We know him as J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, Mary's baby. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright, amen, and morning star, the very sun of the living God. Our soon, amen, coming Savior. How he hung his head and he died. Just for you and for me. How he stayed dead all night Friday, all day Saturday, and all Saturday night. And this world was reeling and rocking like a drunken man. We got this old imposter at last. But thanks be to God, that ain't the end of the story about him. Because early Sunday morning, amen, he got up, stepped on resurrection ground, said, "Claire, I am he who once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore." I come by here to tell you, church, sometimes the Lord has to force us out of our comfort zone to a place called purpose. And in between our comfort zone and purpose is a place called transition. Transition moves you out of your will that you would do his will. I came to do the will of him. What about you? I came.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.